It's now 6:38 in the a.m., and we are waiting to get into the Trump trial.
That's right. We've been here for an hour and 38 minutes.
Correct.
The line's growing a little bit, but I guess this is how it works. You got to get here many, many hours early. It turns out the first people in line got here around 3:30.
Really, really early. This is already too early.
It's already too early, technically. Too early. And then at like 8:30, people come out and I guess give you passes and tell you who's going to make it into what part of the courtroom and who's going to be in the overflow room and all that.
So we've given up hope that we're going to be in the trial now.
Some of us have. Some of us haven't.
Have you really not given up hope?
I don't know. Mostly I have, because it seems that only six people make it in. We've read that in a few places, but we're only like person 10 or so.
Could happen.
We're person 12. I think it's going to be boring stuff inside, but no Stormy Daniels or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out we don't always get it right. Stormy Daniels was actually in the courthouse, and we saw her testify in court in the same room as Donald Trump and watched Donald Trump's expression while it all happened. It was surreal. It was a very surreal.
Like it was, but, it's hard to describe a little bit, which I guess we're going to attempt to, but it's hard
to attempt.
Yeah, it's hard to know what you're walking into. And then I feel like once we were there, it was even more strange than I ever thought it would be.
Well, we should just welcome you all. Welcome to The Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are The Good Liars.
And we may be the good liars, but on this show, we're going to tell you the truth. And today, we're going to tell you the truth about our experience at the Trump hush money trial. We were inside of it. We were in the overflow room, which is the only place you could see Donald Trump, whoever's the witness on the stand, all the prosecution and the judge, all in one shot, basically.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our experience there. And I just want to say, for the record, right now, for the record, and I want this in the record, and the stenographer
should be like
tapping this.
So when you say that, you mean it.
I'm very tired.
Yeah, samesies.
Because our day on Tuesday started at 4:15 a.m. for me. I got up. I think my alarm went off at 4:10. I got up, took a shower, got in a car, and was dropped off at the courthouse.
Whoa, fancy.
I know. I took a car.
Fancy. I took the subway like
a
New Yorker.
That's on you. I don't know what you were thinking doing that, but that's on you. By the time I got there, I did get there like 10 minutes before you did. The line was already, there was already, I think, 10 to 11 people in the line. It actually was 15 people because there were line dudes. What are their names? Line dudes?
The line dudes, I think.
Line dudes.
They had hats with hashtag line dudes on their hats. It was like four line dudes. And I guess the deal is you can hire a line dude and you pay them $50 an hour. And when you show up, they leave. So, you know, there's an easier way to do it, but pricey.
It's pricey. It's pricey. But those people got in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tell you about our fate in a second. But the line dudes were there, and I actually got there and got in the front of the line and didn't realize it until the line dudes told me 10 minutes after I'd been there that I was in the front and they weren't going to let me be there. So I had to go to the back of the line.
Dudes are tough. Dude policy.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and they're always at the front.
Yes.
That's and like our whole good deal.
Our good friend Peter Richardson, who's been on a lot of these trips with us and films with us a lot, he came and met us as well after you got there. We're waiting in line. It's dark out in New York. There's 12 people in front of us, basically, maybe 11. And we're just there. We're waiting now. And with nothing really happening for about an hour and a half, nothing happens.
That's right. Nothing happens, but the sun slowly starts to rise, and this, you know, dark black New York City street around the courthouse starts to light up. But yeah, we're standing there just kind of making friends with the people around us, wondering what the day has in store. I remember a guy next to us said that he hoped it wasn't Documents Day again, because I guess that's what yesterday was. Lots of documents.
Monday was Documents Day. So we thought that's what we were going to get again for this trial. It was going to be a boring day. And we had a little bit of false hope. Some people told us that we're probably going to make it in the courtroom. We'll be in the courtroom for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So at about 6:40, they divided all of us that were in this line into three different lines. There were two press lines and then a general public line. We were in the general public line, I guess because we're not real news or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Kind of shitty of them to do to us, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So we didn't make a fuss about this or anything like that. But we're there. We're waiting. We're wondering if we're going to get in. And then around 8 o'clock, somebody comes with these passes.
So the press that was all here is now gone. They're inside. Yeah, they're in
two rows of long rows of press. I don't know, 80, 100 people maybe
the
have
fake
gone
press
inside.
Are still here.
Fake press are in this line, yeah. The line that this we're area. In, obviously walled off, gated off here. But hopefully, they're going to come let us in. Apparently, you get some tickets for each person. You're allowed your seat in the courtroom, and you can't leave except during lunch. And you got to come back.
Breaks.
We've been talking to people. Some of the reporters here were talking about how crazy Friday was. Hope Hicks had testified.
Oh wait,
emotionally, was that? Are they giving them out?
Yep. I think there's only four that got in. I don't think we're getting in the courtroom.
So maybe we're not getting in the courtroom today. Are those green slips?
Six.
You see?
Wow. So we are definitely.
You see them at all?
Yeah.
Wow, so close, but no cigar here.
Then when they gave the green slips to the general public line, it was six people, and that was it. And we quickly realized we were not going to get in to the actual court with Donald Trump in the courtroom. We were going to hopefully be in the overflow room, but then we were like worried for a second, like, I hope we get into the overflow room.
We're not getting in.
But we did get to get up early, and it's always good to have an early start to your day and get up an hour and a half before the sun comes up. You start to feel like you are, I don't even know.
Oh, God. Damn it.
Not getting in.
All right.
Well,
there you have it.
But the maitre d' of the court, as he's affectionately known to the press, brought us yellow slips, and I think about 15 people behind us got the yellow slips as well.
Yeah, I think it was,
and
like,
that was it.
It was like eight, maybe 18 people from the public in the overflow room and six in the actual trial space. So even making it into the overflow room, I'm glad we showed up early. I'm glad we committed to doing this, because it was not a given. If we'd waited another 20 minutes, we were probably not even getting in there.
All right, so we're walking into the courthouse. We've got our yellow slips to see for kind of exciting, but we are going to be in the overflow room. So we're hoping that the food is really good. And that's what we keep talking about.
We have our ticket in. And we are ticket to paradise. And we walk across the street. We go in. We go through metal detectors. Then they take us to the 15th floor. And you get off. And because of Secret Service, you got to do metal detectors all over again. You got to take your belt off again. You got to go through these metal detectors. And then they showed us to our room. And once you get in the room, I swear, when I got in there, I was having flashbacks to, like, elementary school, not like middle school or upper school or high school, like elementary school. There was a cop saying, can't have your cell phone out, can't have your cell phone out. And they're patrolling the aisles of the courtroom where we're stationed in the overflow room.
Right.
Saying no cell phones. And if you ever pulled one out, they'd yell at you and threaten to kick you out.
Yeah. But and they would scold you like, you're describing, like, it's cool. I'd be like, oh, put that phone away. Put that phone away.
Guys, I don't want to have to keep saying this. Keep your phones away.
Exactly.
Okay? Keep your phones away.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to keep doing this. Okay?
And then there's also a sign on the wall that says, like, obey the rules or the room will be shut down for everyone.
Yes.
Did you see the sign? It said like, it was basically,
it will be
like
shut down for you want to ruin this for everyone?
You could ruin this for everyone.
You could ruin this whole thing for everyone. You want that on your conscience? Get out of here. Get out of here. I don't know if the guy sounded like that, but
he did.
DeRob, could you describe? So we walk into the overflow room, which is just a courtroom, really, where they've just, it's just the exact same size courtroom that Trump is in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I describe what it looks like. Just on the other side of the wall.
Well, you have a picture, right? I forgot to mention this. DeRob is our stenographer.
In-house
stenographer.
That's different than a stenographer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right?
I'm sorry. A courtroom sketch artist. Is there a word for that? And let's see some of your courtroom drawings of what it looks like in there. That's pretty. Okay. And I want to say that's pretty good. I think that is pretty good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so here we are. This was kind of our view, the backs of people's heads. But you could kind of maneuver a little bit and get a good view of that big monitor in front of us. And that monitor was divided into like four
Well, when we walked in, it said quadrants. Nothing. It just said, it was just like, it had the time and that
the court seal, I think.
Yeah, it had not started yet. Yeah.
Right. So we're getting settled, and that's kind of our view. So we can leave it at that for now. Believe it or not, there are a couple more drawings.
And I think I could say safely, they get progressively worse.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
I had a little bit of patience. And
I don't know if it was just like the coffee had kicked in. I don't even know if you remember if you had coffee, but you were just like, I was like, wow, DeRob, this is going to be good. This is, we're going to have like some really good drawing. I was so impressed like seeing you do this. So we're in there. We're kind of like, can we talk? I guess we can talk a little bit. We keep seeing these journalists we recognize in there because there's four rows of the general public, which is, I guess, the equivalent of whatever, there's seven seats or six seats in each one of those. I don't know what
I think
what
it's
that
safe
is.
To 20, say like 24. 18 people, maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
And so there's 18 of us that made it in there, and we're all sitting in silence with our little proctors in there, the police officers. Can't be on our cell phones. And then at around 9:30, the courtroom screens come on. And describe what the screens look like. And this is three TVs that are set up at like varying degrees of like distance away from us.
The large one in the center and the other two look this way, but the one we were clearly going to be watching, and I'll pull up the courtroom. So we're looking at the backs of people's heads, but this big screen, like I said,
I had a great view,
adjust and see the screen, which had like four quadrants, but it would change configuration sometimes. But basically, one of the cameras was trained right on the judge. One was on the witness stand. And then there were a couple different views of the courtroom. One kind of wider, and then a view of the opposing counsels and Trump, of course, at the defense table. And then when evidence would come up, it would come up in the top left and the configuration would change of the other windows, kind of. But that was what it was. It was like,
I did a drawing of it right here, so you can see.
That's incredible. Is there four quadrants there?
There's four quadrants. I did a drawing of the courtroom too when we first got in there.
That's amazing. I'd like to see that. I do want to point out in my drawing,
criticize it.
It says "In God We Trust." That was very prominently displayed. Oh, wow.
That's the TV.
I criticized
it
a little bit because you can see everyone's legs, which is just not how it was.
I keep saying this to you, DeRob. They had legs. Just because you couldn't see them didn't mean they didn't have... You were there.
I'm not an object permanence guy.
All right. I stand by my my drawing. So I don't know what to say.
I'm sure you do.
So we see the screens come on. No judge. Then we see Trump come in, and he is looking very tan. I don't want to say super orange. He looked like just like he was way too tanned, in my opinion, seeing him.
Yeah.
Yellow tie, sits down, and he is kind of just like a little sulky, a little like he's obviously not happy to be there. And then the cameras come where they can take 45 seconds of pictures. And when the cameras come in, you could see them all come around him. He kind of goes from being like looking around and talking and maybe like smiling at somebody to putting his hands together and looking forward and just having like a scowl, just a very
little
upset
mugshot
face.
Moment.
I'm very like, tough and mean.
Yeah. And his body language changed like immediately. And it was just a funny moment. It was like, suddenly, like five people come in with monopods, various heights of cameras, click, 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 click. And it's like as soon as they're there, they're gone. Just a little procedural moment.
Just his, like, it's just like the showman, ever the showman.
Yeah.
He just does this thing and it's all for the cameras. And it was just a really funny, funny moment. We got some intel from the woman seated next to us.
Yeah.
Who said, she had good information that Stormy Daniels was going to be in the court testifying that day. She said that to us.
She said good information. Not great, but good.
Not great. Not great. And we didn't know what to make of that. I guess Trump had truthed something about how he was upset about a witness coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But we also like didn't know what to make of this woman. Like we were like, does she know what she's talking about? I think she'd been there the day before, but we weren't gonna, you know, we're gonna take everything with a grain of salt. And then, sure enough, the judge enters. They say, "All rise," and we knew in the overflow room we didn't have to do jack shit. We didn't have
to rise. In fact, that very same lady told me. A different time she'd been in an overflow room and she told me, and these high school students were in there and they stood when they said "all rise" in the courtroom. And I was like, well, that's news to me that I didn't need to. So we didn't.
I did know
that. I appreciated that.
Because I read the articles that I thought you read that I sent to you.
I read some of them, yeah.
Okay, all right. So he comes in, the judge, and immediately says, "Is there anything we need to talk about before the jury comes in?" And the defense says they have a big problem. They have a big problem about a witness that the prosecution's going to call.
Mm-hmm.
That witness being Stormy Daniels. And the whole, there's like murmurs in the room. I'm like, whoa.
It's real drama. It was real drama. And
it was real drama.
You could feel it. And you like actual murmurs. People being like, whoa, it's really happening. It's really happening.
Peas and carrots, peas and carrots, peas and carrots, peas and carrots.
Quiet, quiet.
Oh, sorry,
guys.
Hey, knock it off, guys. Yeah. Knock it off. And we had a moment of a little bit like, and we're looking at Trump, who looks very upset about this. As the lawyers say, they don't think this is good. They don't want to get into like personal things with Trump, which
their
is
main,
also like
their main reason for having this discussion was they didn't want things to be graphic. They didn't want this to become a description of like the sex act that became like graphic and was embarrassing to Trump, more or less, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And the judge kind of seemed to agree, but also not quite. He was like, yes, I agree, but they would have to. You're saying that Stormy Daniels has credibility issues, so she might have to say enough specifics for people to feel that her testimony is credible, and then kind of moved on.
Yeah,
some version of that.
And it was a little bit like we were like, "Well, what's going to happen with this?" But it definitely sounded like Stormy Daniels was going to be there, but we had to wait. We had to wait.
Yeah.
Because they said, they specifically said, we have a problem with the second witness that the prosecution is calling today. So right. We were like, who's the first? Was the first going to be super, super crazy one too? The answer is no.
No.
Is no. The first witness that the defense called was someone from Penguin Random House who was going over some of Trump's books that he had published there. And it doesn't really have to do that much to do with the Stormy Daniels drama that we witnessed that day, but we are going to talk about it in our bonus episode on Hero Hero. So stick around for that. It did provide some like truly hilarious moments where people were laughing out loud in the
in court. Were some of the funniest parts of the day. And you know, obviously all those big laughs elicited a knock it off, guys, from the, the court cops. But
quiet in the court. Quiet in the court.
There were a couple of amazing moments here. So go to herohero.co/thegoodliars, and we're going to do the bonus episode on that. But like Jason said, it didn't have to do that much or at all, really, with the Stormy Daniels testimony, which was the exciting thing of the day.
So this testimony gets wrapped up. It was entertaining, but we all know Stormy Daniels is next. Everyone in the courtroom knows Stormy Daniels is next. Yeah. Everyone's like, this is an amazing moment. Stormy Daniels, who alleged to have an affair with Donald Trump, has not been in the same room with him for over a decade, if everything she said was true. And now they're going to be in the same room and they're going to be looking at each other. It just seems like this is going to be a surreal moment. At 10:30 a.m., the prosecution says, the people call Stormy Daniels. And Trump looked so stiff when this happened. He was just staring forward, not moving a muscle. And she, when they asked, you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, she said, yes, not I do, which I thought was interesting. Said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do some people say I do?
Or some, I would say I do. Do you?
I do. Sure.
She said yes or yeah?
I think she said yes. That's what I have in my notes. But she gets up on the stand and the prosecution asks her, what would you like to be, how would you like to be addressed? And she said, as Stormy Daniels. I want to be called Stormy Daniels. So now she's being called Stormy Daniels on her porn persona name, right?
Like right.
In court. And they start off, first off, I just want to say what she looked like. She has blonde hair, half blonde, half black hair, black in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wearing all black, black glasses, hair kind of tied back. And she comes up there and she really has a unique energy. I think it's fair to say, DeVrom. She had a unique energy.
Yeah, she was kind of like, I don't know, there was like a relaxed, kind of disheveled a little bit kind of thing. Like she
kooky. Is kooky a word we can use? Maybe a little kooky?
Yeah.
Like the crazy aunt?
Right, but it wasn't like kooky, I feel like, has this like kind of, I don't know, a little bit of a manic energy to it.
Yeah,
and she didn't really have that. She was kind of like remarkably casual, I thought, to the point of almost like, I don't know, being like seeming almost familiar with this situation. And perhaps she has been familiar with the pressure of like having this story on her mind and telling this story for several years now. So she was there and she seemed, I don't know, at home in a strange way. It's a little hard to describe, but not shocked to be there, ready to kind of answer questions and kind of like leaning into her chair and adjusting in just like a very kind of comfortable way. Like she was just there to talk.
Yeah, they ask her about her personal story, how's growing up, you know, with one parent and an absent parent at that at times. And, you know, how she got into exotic dancing and then got into porn through that. And then started not only acting in porn, but writing and directing porn as well.
Right. And she wanted to make it very clear that there are different kinds of porn movies, some where there is no plot and others that are written and directed in a manner that takes a lot of thought. She was proud of having made that leap.
Yes. I thought about going on a porn tangent there, but I've never watched it and I know nothing about it, so I can't really comment on it.
It would be difficult for you to elaborate.
For me to talk. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Because I know you watch it a lot, constantly. And that was hard for you in the courtroom. You were like, I got to watch it. And they were like, no phones. So sorry about that. But you had your magazine.
Strike that from the record, as it is not true. Objection. Objection.
Sustained. Or not sustained. Yes, sustained. I'll allow it. So we get the backstory on Stormy Daniels. And Devon, what were you thinking when you heard her backstory? Did you feel a little bit for her?
I did. It sounded like she had made kind of some tough but logical decisions. I think she said she was working on a horse farm or something, like shoveling horse manure 8 hours a day. And a friend had said, come dance at this, strip club, and she could make a lot more than she had been for doing a lot less. And then that transitioned, like you said, into making the movies. And then she had accomplished something. She was writing and directing them. So she had kind of, worked her way up.
And I was talking about how great your drawings were earlier. And I noticed while she was on the stand, you were doing some drawings of Stormy Daniels. And I'd love to see some of the courtroom sketch art from DeVrom Stiefler of Stormy Daniels, just so people can get kind of a feel of what she looked like. If you have any of those pictures, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can just describe them for the listeners, just to know. Put it up. Just put it up, and I can describe it for the audience. Okay. So this is a picture that DeVrom drew in the courtroom of Daria from MTV. This is a picture of Daria. But you know what's funny? Now that I see it, it's actually a little bit clearer here in this. It's not as bad as I remember it from, just to give you a little bit of credit.
That's so nice. Thank you. Well, I have
to say,
it's not
good. But I'm also not looking at Stormy Daniels right now. But when I saw this while looking at her.
But this is pretty damn good, is what you're saying. This is pretty damn good. She was.
It does not look like her at all. But I think it's good. It's nice art, is I guess what I would say.
I'm so glad you like it. And I hope all of you out there do as well.
But she did not look like this.
If you've ever seen Stormy Daniels, you know she does not look like this. But there are a couple things I can point to.
You said in the middle that you were like, I don't think I can draw women. I'm like, that's very specific. But you didn't successfully draw anyone. Can we see the Trump now, or do you want to keep talking about this?
Thomas Jefferson or something. I don't know. Yes.
Of all the people in the world, it is certainly not Donald Trump. It's maybe not. Ted Koppel, with a Thomas Jefferson.
All right, so we'll take it down. I guess the point of those...
There's no reason to take it down.
The point of those drawings were...
There we go.
Wow, you made it even bigger.
Yeah, there we go.
Donald Trump had a monitor in front of him. He was seeing, I guess, the evidence that was being brought up, and he was kind of leaning back. That's what I was trying to capture a little bit. And it's very hard to draw his hair. It's a strange hair. It's a kind of fuzzy white blonde thing on top. It's darker on the sides, puffy. I'm not a sketch artist.
Don't say that. You're the only sketch artist we have. We need you.
That's
we
true. Need
you. Stormy Daniels takes the stand. We hear her backstory, which is all nice. And I think the prosecution was just kind of setting up that she's a nice lady and she was doing things to be an independent person and that she has a big heart and all that stuff. And then they start asking about meeting Donald Trump in Lake Tahoe at a celebrity golf tournament.
Right. So she is there representing Wicked Pictures? Is that what it was? That's the company?
Yeah, they're an offshoot of Vivid Video. They do a lot of... I'm just kidding. I don't know.
You've never watched porn before, but you know those facts.
Yeah, you were telling me earlier. You were saying it. I can't throw women and...
Wicked Pictures. So basically, they were there. She was with some other people from her company, and it was customary to like take pictures with people at the golf course. And at one point, she said that Wicked sponsors a hole, which everyone... laughed pretty hard at. Everyone was right on top of that. They thought it was great.
As she explained the joke afterwards, she was like, it's funny because it's a porn place and it's talking about holes.
Right. So
it's and we're just like,
porn reference. Thank you.
There's a, it was not the first time, but, or not the last time. And it wasn't the first time either, actually. But where, I just had a moment where I was like, I can't believe
that we're here.
Presidential candidate, going on and this is what's happening right now. This is fucking wild.
So she meets him, and I think afterwards she sees him in the clubhouse or something, right? The photo that they took earlier on the golf course, some version of this. By the way, don't get mad at me if any of these facts are slightly off, but feel free to correct me.
Me?
What? Yes, you.
Okay.
So they are meeting again after having taken that picture, and Trump, through his bodyguard and through talking to her, ends up inviting her to his room for dinner later.
Through his bodyguard, Keith. And then it turns out that every single person in Stormy Daniels' life is a Keith. There's
everyone's
just like five Keiths.
Her lawyer's Keith, the bodyguard's Keith, and her best friend and photographer's Keith. They're all Keith. So basically she's invited, and another big uproarious laugh in the courtroom was when she was talking about kind of like her internal monologue about like, you know, she didn't really want to go to dinner with other people who were there with her company. And she kind of had this out to go meet Donald Trump, this reality star. And in her head, she thought, what could possibly go wrong? And everyone laughed because...
And then had like a moment.
Many years later, here we are. This is what could go wrong.
Yeah. Maybe Donald Trump's thinking the same
court
thing.
Again.
We got to quiet in the court.
Yep. I didn't feel like after waking up that early and spending my day doing that I should have to not laugh when something was funny. So I went for it, as did others. But moving forward in the testimony, so she goes, she ends up in this hotel room, and she said, and you pointed this out, I remember at one point, how she was so insistent on saying how big this hotel suite was. This is bigger than, you know, like any house I'd ever lived in, or my first three houses, I think she said, that she ever lived in.
Yeah, the thing that struck me with her whole testimony, and just the whole case, what is interesting to me about it is that got Donald Trump, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, billionaire, rich, rich, rich guy, upper crust of society. And then he has this alleged affair with this porn star who came from a tough upbringing, and she like made the most, you know, out of the hand she was dealt. And she is very much like not a polished person. And you saw that on the stand. She was just like laughing and like being like, whatever, like just not answering questions and talking in a way that would be like in a polished way. And then Donald Trump, it was like, has like through his actions and all this stuff, like really dragged her through the mud. And I just thought there was like class is such an interesting part of this. There was on full display, and the thing that I liked about it was that in the criminal justice system, like Donald Trump had to sit there and listen to it, and his defense had the opportunity to cross-examine, which we'll get to later, but he had to sit there in the court while she like said her piece that I'm sure she's been thinking about.
We've been to
ages.
So many of these Trump rallies. This the way he operates is he shows up an hour late, he walks in, he talks, says whatever he feels like saying, and he leaves. Everyone is on his schedule. And what you were saying is absolutely true. There's like this like equality in the courtroom, regardless of where they came from, that like he has to sit there and listen, and her testimony is like his future hangs in the balance of like what she is saying, and it is more important than him right now, than his words. He doesn't get to just, you know, kind of interrupt. But I have to say, he doesn't seem all that polished either. But your point is a valid one, in that they come from such different backgrounds. But he's not like this. He doesn't feel upper crust to me. But I do agree that it just like it's like these people from totally different backgrounds on this collision course, and us going to the trial on this day, we ended up seeing like a very important moment in that strange, strange thing. That is the current front runner for president of the United States and this porn star locked in this legal battle.
DeVrom, enough about class, enough about income inequality,
sure,
education. Sure. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about Trump and Stormy. All the good things and the bad things. If you wanted to hear like a sexy story, this was not a sexy story. It was actually kind of a sad story.
They're sitting at this dining table in this amazing hotel suite. They talk about some general things, you know, her background. He seems to take a particular interest in the business side of the porn industry that she has been successful in. And the conversation turns to STD testing in porn. And he seems to take a very pointed interest in that. How often are they tested? And has she ever gotten a bad test, I think, maybe is how she phrased it.
That sounds right.
And she said that, you know, she had not, and that they are tested very often and all that. So I think he may have, you know, started to make his intentions a little bit known there. But still, he apparently was very cordial and he maintained somewhat of a professional interest in what she was doing.
Was it at this point, DeVrom, that he brought up The Apprentice, or did that happen when they met at the reception?
I think he brought it up here, I believe. Okay. And he brings up The Apprentice and says that, you know, maybe it would be interesting to have her on there. And she kind of plays to his ego and says, I don't even know if you're powerful enough to make that happen. And of course, his brain works in only one direction. And he's like, yes, I am. I can make this happen. And he kind of takes that as kind of a challenge. Then there's the moment that some of us have read about where she criticizes him for not letting her talk, really. He's just name-dropping. He's talking over her. And then what happens?
Well, first he talks about, he tells her that he's on the cover of this financial magazine or something. And she has a moment where she's like, I don't know, like I read a financial magazine, like I care about this. I'm like a 27-year-old porn star and you think I'm like reading financial magazines?
Yeah.
And he says, well, I've been bad. Why don't you spank me? And like rolls up the magazine.
And she spanks him.
She spanks him. And they said,
it happens.
And where? And she was like, on his butt.
So we talked to a friend who was in the courtroom and said that moment in particular was the tension was kind of thick in that moment.
So I'm watching Trump.
Of the spanking.
For all of this, I'm watching her, and then Trump is right underneath her on the screen. And while she's talking at the very beginning of this, telling her backstory or whatever, Trump is talking with his lawyers all the time. He's like turning, whispering something to them. They're whispering something back to him. When she starts talking about their encounter in the hotel, he is staring directly forward, not at her, staring directly forward, and his lawyers are like trying to like look over at him, like to say something to him, and Trump does not look back at, he just stares forward while they're describing this.
Yeah, expressionless, kind of like
well, she's describing it, I should say, yes, yeah. expressionless. Yeah. It was like, it was a little wild to see like how much he changed.
Almost eerie. He wasn't like seething with anger. He was just kind of like leaning back. Like my drawing did the perfect.
Yeah, he looked just like this.
Just like that.
Just
Take
like
it
that.
Down. Take
Maybe
it down.
His hair was a little bit bigger.
Weirder.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just got out of the courtroom. We didn't know who was going to be the witness today. And it turned out it was Stormy Daniels. It's probably the most exciting day of the trial, and it's our first day here. So that's exciting. One.
Yeah. One of one.
Two. We are now... We witnessed some, like, pretty crazy testimony, not only describing her interactions with Trump, but the fear of
being
followed.
Yeah, that's right. They were, you know, kind of insistent. The defense and the judge kept kind of tight lid on, like, actual details.
Right.
Like, something she seemed intent on, like, portraying was that... She was, like, fearful in the moment. And she even brought it up a couple other times.
We're just out for lunch now, and after the judge said we're going to do a recess for lunch, Stormy left the stand. She left, and as she's walking past Trump, Trump is staring directly ahead, not making eye contact, and then turns away from her as to not make eye contact with her, almost, like, literally giving her the cold shoulder. Which I thought was kind of telling, that he wouldn't even like look her in the eye.
Right.
All right, that does it for part one of our experience inside the Trump trial in Manhattan. Part two is going to be coming out soon. We're going to talk about the cross-examination that was explosive, very testy between Trump's defense and Stormy Daniels. We witnessed it all there. Trump's reactions were interesting, to say the least. But please... support us on Hero, herohero.co/thegoodliars. You get exclusive content. There's going to be a special bonus episode up there. Also, we've got some live shows coming up. May 23rd in Washington, D.C., June 6th in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're going to be out west in Los Angeles on June 25th and San Francisco on June 26th. You can go to goodliars.com for tickets. And we'll see you next time on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. Take care, everybody.